Cistern? Oh, sounds funny. I don't know. Isn't a cistern like a pot? I don't want to call women. Hello, men. And kettles. Yeah. Are you winning?
Yes.
Not convinced. By the end of tonight, you will be. All right. How many of you guys ever, parents? Who's parents? Grandparents? If you're grandparents, parents are, I think you're automatically the other. You ever had your kids come up, who's your favorite? You can't answer that. You know, of course, you know, grandparents, well, you are. And then the next one comes up, well, you are. Right? We think, who's your favorite? Who's your favorite? You can't pick your favorite. They're all different. And you do get along with some more than others, right? I mean, some of my kids I get along with. I get along with all of them. I mean, I get that. Some are more not like me, so they're easier to get along with. Right? Because sometimes we don't get along with people that are like us. I remember back when I was in college, tried to go out with this one girl, and she was a lot like me. I thought, well, this is perfect. She drove me crazy. I mean, I don't want to date myself. That's the last thing I want to, is someone like me. No, I'm with me all the time. I need someone different. So fortunately, I found my wife, who tonight is one of those mushy moments. Be prepared. Gentlemen, take notes. 20 years ago today was our first date. And I spent 2 or 3 hours on the phone the night before, sweating, trying not to throw up. And we were friends, and I had just decided, this there's something to this girl. I want to go out with her. But I was trying to explain to her. This is the most uncomfortable conversation I ever had. I'm just trying to explain to her. I don't just go out with people. I'm not one of those guys. When I go out with people, I want to, that means that I'm looking, I'm thinking. That's probably not the right thing to tell a woman at the get-go. But, you want to be honest. You don't want to be the playboy out there. Hey, let's go out with everybody. But I let her know, I don't just do this. I just don't do this. That was the most uncomfortable conversation. The second most uncomfortable conversation was calling her father and telling him, we've decided to date. He was like 1,500 miles away, so I was somewhat safe, but I knew planes can go really fast. So that was terrible. But you can't pick your favorite kid. You can't pick your favorite grandkid. You can pick your favorite pet, probably, because I don't know that pets get offended. They might. They get the hurt feelings and the ears down thing. But other than that, I think you're okay. But, and there's times, and I don't know, tell me if you've ever done this. I know I have. You've looked at someone, and man, they just got blessed, right? Something just happened big in their lives. You go, wow, God must really love them. You ever said that? All right, I'm going to use the word no one uses anymore. Balderdash. Yeah, no one says that anymore, so we're going to say balderdash. Poppycock would also work. But see, God can't pick favorites either. I mean, God is love, correct? And we think God can compartmentalize love. Like, he loves this person more. He loves this person more because she's a minister. He loves him more because he's a pastor. No, God doesn't have levels of love. God is love. God is not a staircase, okay? He does not come with levels. He is love, so therefore he loves everyone equally. And just the same, I cannot love one of my kids any more or less than another. I love my kids more than I love other people's kids. Be perfectly frank. No, I love all of your children, all of them. But by the way, my daughter is in the back running the computer, who is now ducking down behind the Apple sign now. So she's there, and so if she makes any mistakes, it's my fault, not hers. Right? Right, okay. All right, God is love, so he cannot play favorites. We need to stop thinking that God loves someone more than he loves me, and that's why they're getting blessed. Not at all the case. In fact, and I want to teach a message on this sometime, the Bible says God disciplines the ones he loves. We don't ever see someone just getting spiritually raked over the coals and go, wow, God loves them. Right? It's only the good stuff, right? But the opposite is true. We're not going to talk about it tonight, but I do want to talk about that sometime because I just think that's extremely interesting, how God disciplines the ones he loves, right? But we are all God's favorite. He can't choose between us. He can't say I like him more than her and her more than him. All right, so look at the person next. I never do this, but I'm going to do the preacher thing. Look at the person next to him, to you, and tell him you're God's favorite. You are God's favorite. Absolutely. No one told me that, but I know, so we're good. No one went, hey, Ian, you're God's favorite. But I know, so you don't have to. I don't feel bad anymore. So you are God's favorite. I want to talk tonight about the favor of God in our lives. Because we, you know, we think, well, God, yeah, man, God loves me, God loves. But think of this. John 17:23, I don't have it up on the screen. But it says that God loves us as much as he loves Jesus. That's a mind job. That'll, if you think about that, you might tilt. You just kind of get there and get this kind of blank look on your face. God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. And that's Jesus praying that. John chapter 17. That's huge. It's huge. He loves me as much as Jesus. I have no clue why. Right? I don't behave like Jesus. I don't look like Jesus. I don't always act like Jesus. I don't always talk like Jesus. But it's because it's not based on us. Right? It's based on God. Because God is love, he has no level, so he loves all equally. Right? Okay. So I want to talk tonight about how God's favor works in our life and that you are God's favorite. All right? So we're going to start here. In Psalm chapter 102, verse 1, it's this, really a depressing statement. It says, a prayer of the afflicted. I thought this was just a title. This is actually part of the verse. A prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. And then he starts talking. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. You ever felt like writing this? A prayer of the afflicted. A prayer of the one who's taking a beating for a living, right? You feel like a sparring partner. Your job is just to get beat up, right? And he says, a prayer of the afflicted when he's overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. You ever complain to God? He says, oh, I would never complain to God. Why? Does he not know your heart already? Does he not already know your thoughts? Is he offended when we get upset? I think God's pretty secure in who he is. Because a lot of the book of Psalms is complaining. A lot of it. Lord, why do the evil prosper? Lord, why am I being afflicted? Lord, why? And people just complaining. You ever get overwhelmed like that and you just go to God and just cry and scream and yell and get mad? And then you have that moment where you flip the switch and you come back. And we see it all through the Psalms. In fact, the next verse, I think, verse 13. Right in the middle of all his complaining, by the way, a little backstory. According to Adam Clark's commentary, they think this was written in the time when Jerusalem was under siege from Babylon, and they attribute it to one of the prophets. I think they said Nehemiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, one of those. At least that was this commentary. So it's a bad situation. Jerusalem is under siege. Babylon is in control. And right in the middle, he says, you will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. All right? In the Amplified Bible, the next one says, nope. Do you not have the Amplified? Psalm 102:13 in the Amplified? No. All right. It says, you will arise and have mercy and loving kindness for Zion, for it is time to have pity and compassion for her. Yes, the set time has come, the moment designated. Throughout the Bible, we see that when God's people come under adversity, when we're under attack, we see time after time how God responds with favor. He responds with his loving kindness and his goodness. God, I mean, you look all through the book of Judges, where Israel is just messing up over and over, much like we do. And over and over. And then they come back to God. God responds. God comes back with power. God comes back with strength. God comes back with his compassion and his goodness and his loving kindness. And he responds and overwhelms the enemy. Right? Sometimes I need my enemies overwhelmed. How about you? I need my enemy to just freak out and run away. That's what I need. That's what I want. And God responds to that. They cry. He's crying out. He's complaining. And he says, but God is coming. It's time for his favor now. There is a designated time for God's favor. Now the question is, when is the designated time? When you need it, right? Right? When you need help, that's when it's time for help. Wow, that's a deep thought. Let that sink in. But the designated time for God's favor is when you need it. The Bible says he is a ready help. He is always ready. Always. Always. All right? God is always ready. He is there when you need it. Now, Luke 4:17. This is Jesus being handed the scroll. He says, he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty," "to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." All right? Now, that's not the Amplified Version, is it? Okay. Amplified Version. Verse 19 says, "To proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound." I like that. The day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. Notice they are free favors. Not favors you pay for. Not favors you earn. Not favors you deserve. Otherwise, it is no longer free. The free favors of the Lord profusely, abundantly, ridiculously abound. Yeah. And then the next verse in 2 Corinthians says, "For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold," next word is, "now." Everybody say now. Now is the accepted time. "Behold, now is the day of salvation." So when is it that you need it? Now. When is it the day? Now. Now is the day of God's favor. Now is the day where God's saying, "That's my kid. They're my favorite. I'm going to pour out blessing on them." There's a Bible that says that he will encompass us. He will surround us with favor. He'll surround us with favor. Now, it is time for God's favor in your life, right? It is time. Ooh, you guys need to, ooh. Man, I tell you what. We get stuff from different people. I spent some time, months ago now, listening to Jerry Savelle. I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with Jerry Savelle. And talking about the favor of God. And man, it just started to open my eyes. That God's favorite, man, that is for me. I'm his favorite. Right? That's not ego because it has nothing to do with me. Has everything to do with him and his limitless love. I'm his favorite. You're his favorite. And I started learning this and I started getting excited and we started putting this to work in our lives, expecting the favor of God, and man, things started to change. When you start looking for something, you're going to start seeing it. You ever think of like buying a car and all of a sudden you see that car everywhere, right? Well, what happens when you start looking for favor? All of a sudden, you're seeing favor everywhere you go. You see God moving. You see his hand doing things for you. But what is the favor of God? What is it? What is the favor of God? I think I have a definition here, if you got it. Favor. To support, this is from the dictionary. To support, endorse, assist, make easier, provide with advantages, and show special privileges. That's the favor of God. To support, endorse, assist, make easier, provide with advantages, and show special privileges. It's almost not fair. I'm not going to complain, but it's almost not fair that God would favor us that way. People who don't know God, they are at such a disadvantage. I feel sorry for people who don't know God. They're missing out. Not only are they missing heaven, which is huge, But they're missing out God calling them their favorite and just moving for them. I have a student who, people get this hybrid religion. You know what I mean by that? You know, hybrid cars, they run on gas and electricity. Well, they take Christianity and the Bible and they try to blend them. They don't blend. And this person, and you hear it all the time on TV, you know, Oprah Winfrey and everything else, you know, person was saying, man, I'm just not thrilled with my job. I'm thinking it might be time for a change. But she's talking to God about it, and whatever the universe wants to bring me. I mean, God, and then all of a sudden the universe is going to bring it. I'm like, what? Like, what, the stars? Jupiter is going to pour something out on you? I don't know. But people combine all these things. I feel sorry for people with that kind of uncertainty in their lives. Because what we're talking about tonight, there's no uncertainty. Bible says if you know the will of God, he'll bring it. That's favor. He'll provide you with advantages. He'll show you special privilege. All right? So what is favor? Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. Excuse me. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. So what does that mean? It means that favor will bring you what money can't buy. Favor will bring you what money can't buy. Favor will get jobs for people when no one else is working. Favor buys homes when other more qualified people are competing with you for it. Favor sells homes when there are dozens like it on the market. Seen it happen over and over. Favor brings healing when doctors pronounce that there's nothing that can be done. Doctors say there's nothing that can be done. Well, with you, you obviously don't know what I know. I'm his favorite. He's got me well taken care of. Favor will promote you when others have seniority or are more qualified. Favor will get you a parking space near the entrance instead of having to walk a mile. Hey, that seems silly, but I tell you what, there is Christmas time. You go to Target, go somewhere, and you got to park like across the street. Favor gets you that spot up front. It's got to open for somebody. The people don't live there. So when that spot opens up just as you pull around the corner, that's the favor of God. Right? Man, we got to start looking for it. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's not do that. All right. Ephesians 2, verse 7. It says, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. All right? The Amplified translation, it says that he did this that he might demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor, and his kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Jesus. All right? All throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament, the words grace and favor are used interchangeably. They are the same word. So anywhere you see grace, insert favor. All right? His free grace, his unmerited favor toward us. He demonstrates it. God's not enough it's not enough for God to say it. He said he clearly demonstrates it through the ages to come, which is when? Now. Demonstrates his favor. The riches, abundance of free favor. Again, free. You didn't pay for it. All right. If you look throughout the scripture, in most of the epistles throughout the New Testament, they begin either in the first few verses and in the last few verses, over and over it says grace and peace. And in 1 Peter and 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, both of them, it says grace and peace multiplied to you. Insert favor there. Favor and peace multiplied. We need to make that our prayer. You can multiply favor. All right? We can do it. So let's look at a few benefits of the favor of God. This is not an exhaustive list by any stretch of the imagination. All right? But now's not the time to give up. Now's not the time to be overwhelmed and to be squashed down. Now is the time to go, hey, it's the time for God's favor. Why? Because that's when I need it. Now is the time. It's not time to give up. It's time to get up and move. And believe God is on the move. God is on your side. You know, God, the Bible says he's on your side and he takes the part with you against the enemy. He's on your side. He fights for you. He fights with you. Good news. Good news. So some of the benefits of the favor of God. Number one, favor produces supernatural increase and promotion. Favor produces supernatural increase and promotion. The word supernatural means extraordinary and beyond the norm. Supernatural, extraordinary, beyond the norm. Things that aren't normal for people becomes normal for the one with God's favor. We see that in the story of Joseph. We know that Joseph was his dad's favorite. This is where we get in trouble. You don't want to have a favorite when it comes to that. This is where the problem started. Joseph was his dad's favorite. And because of that, the brothers got jealous. Joseph kind of ran his mouth a little bit. And they said, let's throw him in a hole. Let's sell him to slave traders. And he gets sold into slavery to Egypt. Right? But what happens in Egypt? First of all, he's a slave in Potiphar's house. And in Genesis 39, verse 4, it says, so Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. So Joseph, as a slave, got put in charge of the house and the slaves. He's the man. Why? Because he found favor. Right? Then we see Potiphar's wife goes after him. Joseph's a good man, so he runs away and leaves his fruit of the looms in her hand. She accuses him of rape. He goes to prison. Genesis 39, 21. But the Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, and he gave him favor. That's right, talk to me. Inside of the keeper of the prison. So Joseph was a slave, got put in charge of the house. Joseph was a prisoner, got put in charge of prison. I know Dan back there, he works at a federal prison. Dan, would you want any of those prisoners running the place? Negative. Yeah, we don't want them having the keys. No. But Joseph found favor and was put in charge. So God, the first one, favor produces supernatural increase and promotion. That's not normal promotion. That doesn't just happen. He wasn't qualified. Why? He was a slave. He was a prisoner. You just don't put those people in charge. God's favor put him there. Number two, favor produces restoration of everything that the enemy has stolen from you. Favor produces restoration of everything that the enemy has stolen from you. How many of you guys have things that the enemy has taken away from you? Maybe family members, maybe cars, maybe health, maybe finances, maybe jobs. Favor will restore all that. Exodus chapter 12. This is the children of Israel. They're in slavery, 400 plus years. And God sends Moses. And God tells him, when it's time to go, just ask him for stuff. Okay, and here's what happened. Exodus chapter 12, verse 35. It says, now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and of clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they granted them whatever they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. That is a deal. 400 years of back pay came like that. Right? Imagine that. Ladies, this is what shopping should be, right? Walk, you know, they walk, you know, the Egyptian mall. You know, walk into the people that they're serving. Hey, well, those are some nice Jimmy Choo sandals. Can I have them? Okay. Takes them off, hands them to her. Man, that's a nice Armani robe. Can I have it? Sure. Gives it to him. You know, walking into the Mercedes dealer of Egypt. Kicking the tires in that chariot. Nice. It's got gold. Like it. Can I have it? Sure, here's the horses. They can't hand you keys, right? This is the favor of God. Everything they asked for, it says they gave it to them. And this is how they plundered Egypt. I descend from, Scandinavian peoples. So I'm a big fan of Vikings, including the 4-1 Minnesota Vikings. Uh-huh. Thank you, Rodney. And, you can imagine the Vikings, coming and pillaging. And they just walk up, knock on the door. Hi, we're Vikings. Maybe you've heard of us. Would you mind terribly just kind of leaving so we can have all your stuff? Oh, sure, yeah, let me show you where all the food is. Come on, right? This is how they plundered Egypt, by asking for stuff. The favor of God caused prosperity and restoration and all the stuff that had been taken from them for 400 years and just loaded it on them. Take it with you. You just wonder, later, did they just kind of go, where's that gravy boat? Remember that pitcher we had? Where did that go? We gave it to who? Right? You just imagine that. They're just later realizing, it seems like I had more clothes than this. Honey, have you done the wash yet? I'm down to one pair of underwear. Where is it? All their stuff's gone because they just gave it away. Favor. And they don't know why they did it. The people with all the stuff, they have no clue why. And that's important. We need to start expecting people to just say, I don't know why I'm doing this. And then just, I had someone call, this is a great story. I've told this years ago, but this is worth repeating. We had a house, it was old and man, beat up, but we loved it. It was good. It was a blessing. And it had gotten termites and to the point where our bathroom door fell off. And you just can't hit those things with fly swatters because they'll take it and hit you back. And so the door fell off. So we had a curtain across the bathroom door, right? And so someone would open the front door and the curtain would blow. And if you're in there doing stuff, all of a sudden you just be like. And man, you get spiritual in your prayers too, man. Just like, God, don't let anybody walk by. God, don't let anybody walk by. Your friends go, don't open the door, don't open the door. People run by, like, you have kids, they run down the hallway and the curtain goes. You're just kind of like. We didn't have a bathroom door and we didn't have any money. We was broke. You're broke when you can't afford a bathroom door. And this is true, I promise you this is true. All right. Don't make any more pictures. I gotta finish this. All right. So one day I get a phone call. Hey, Ian, are you home? I said, yeah, I'm home. Meet me at Kentucky Fried Chicken. I like chicken, okay. And they said, meet me in the parking lot. I'm like, oh. Are they gonna beat me up? What? He says, I don't know why I'm doing this, but God told me I need to give you $100. And I just start laughing I'm laughing in the parking lot. I said, man, this is God, man. I don't have a bathroom door, and that's what this is for. Man, we went out, man. We bought that bathroom door. You think I just won the lottery? I got that cart with Home Depot, and I'm rolling it. It's a nice door. Oh, man, I was thrilled. That was the best thing. Because I said, we were broke. We were hurting. But, man, God, the favor of God brought us a bathroom door because no man should use a bathroom with a curtain. It's just not right, man. That's not okay. There's certain things a man ought to deal with, and there's some things that just never should happen. That's one of them because, man, that's where we get our thinking done. And you can't think right when you always think someone's going to go by. Right? God cared enough about us to buy us a bathroom door. Praise God, man. That's awesome. Favor of God. Never thought you'd be applauding a bathroom door in church. God will restore the things that have been stolen from you. What's the enemy taking from your life? Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's a car. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a home. The favor of God will restore every bit of that. Your age. He will renew your youth like the eagles. My Bible says you will go from strength to strength. So yeah, he'll bring you back your youth. You might have to beat your beak off like the eagle does, but it'll grow back. Let me know if that works, Eric. Yeah. Now I don't know which one was mine. This one's warm. It's got to be mine. I heated it up. Don't worry. All right, number three. Favor causes policies, rules, regulations, and laws to be changed and reversed to your advantage. Esther chapter 8, verse 5. Says, and said, if it pleases the king, and if I found favor in his sight, and the thing seemed right to the king, and I am pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to annihilate the Jews who are in all the king's provinces. Right? It was the favor. If I have found favor in your sight. Esther wasn't even supposed to go into the king without being called. By law, she should have been killed. But the king held out his scepter and says, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And she says, okay. Haman had sent letters out for all the Jews to be annihilated, just to be killed on the spot. And she said, if I found favor in your sight, have those letters brought back in. And he did it. And saved a nation. And by the way, it backfired on the enemy and he died. So any attack the enemy brings to you, you go, whatever, dude. A lot of room in that lake of fire, man. Have at it. You'll be by yourself, but go. He's got his end coming. The Bible says when the enemy's caught, he's got to restore seven times what he's stolen. Just catch him. Oh, you're stealing my stuff? Oh. Right? There, someone in this church had their house broken into, all their stuff taken, jewelry, all this different stuff. Devil's got to return it. That's going to come back. But just whatever means, has to be returned. Right? Favor will turn those policies, rules, and regulations to benefit you. I remember once we had tried to get a loan modification on the same house without the bathroom door, and they turned us down and said, you don't qualify. You can't have the modification. You don't qualify. 2 days later, it shows up at our door, the paperwork. Like, what happened to you? That's the favor of God. We weren't qualified. They told us, you are not qualified. And it shows up at the door. We just, well, what do we got to lose? We went and signed them, had them notarized, sent them back. Okay, it's done. Saved us hundreds of dollars. Because we weren't qualified? No, because of the favor of God. Because God was working behind the scenes. He was on our side working against the enemy who was trying to steal from us. And he says, you know what? No. These are my favorite kids, so no. They are qualified because I say they're qualified. And the enemy goes, well, okay. Right? What's he going to say to Father God? Yeah, exactly. Yes, sir. Right away. You want us to paint it while we're at it? Right? You know what? Just because the rules say you can't doesn't mean you can't. Seeing it happen, I know someone they wanted a second loan modification. You can't get those. You can't. They won't let you. It's federal law. You can't. They signed the paper several months ago. God just opened doors. Just because the rules say no doesn't mean no. Don't take it, you know, and just because the doctor says no hope doesn't mean no hope. Because God is on your side. You are his favorite. He wants to bless you. Let him. Take him at his word. So those rules can change. But that's the favor of God. Number four. This is my last one of these. Favor produces battles won which you won't even have to fight because God will fight them for you. God will fight. Remember that we just said God is on your side. He takes the part with you against the enemy. Feel sorry for some fool enemy come up against you. They don't even realize who's on the other side of the hill. Come on. Come a little closer. Like that movie, the scene in The Patriot, when they, at the very end, and the Union Army, you know, they retreat. Or not the Union Army. The Americans retreat. That's the wrong war. The Americans retreat, and they run over the hill, and the British are chasing them. And then as they come over the hill, they realize the entire army's waiting for them. That is kind of what the enemy has to deal with, but just a bajillion times worse. Because when they fight us, they're fighting Almighty God who created everything and who makes the rules. You almost feel sorry for the devil, but you don't. But those things that you have no control over, things you can do nothing about, the favor of God will do for you. Right? Think of miraculous healings. I mean, how many people who have been told, man, it's hopeless, there's nothing we can do. Well, that's right, there's nothing you can do. God is unlimited resource. I mean, I've seen, you know, people seeing out of empty eye sockets. That can't happen. That's not normal. That's extraordinary. You heard stories, and I know somebody who, and I was with them when it happened, when they had their teeth filled with gold without a dentist. I looked in their mouth. I saw it. Miraculous. I mean, let's take it down to the bare, you know, getting over the flu like that. Colds like that. I had a cold try to come on me last week, and just one day it started to come on, and I said, Lord, I don't have to have this. And I felt bad. The next day I woke up, I was feeling pretty good. Next day it's not faith, but you're almost waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like all of a sudden, but that other shoe never came down. It just stopped. It just stopped. Praise God. That's the favor of God. Those things that we don't even necessarily think about and God just does them, that's favor. The things that you can do nothing about, favor produces those battles won. So, how do we put God's favor to work in our lives? All right, number one, begin to renew your mind that God favors you. We need to get up every morning. God favors me. I'm his favorite. He favors me. Right? Look through what the Bible says about favor. I just got started, and I have pages of stuff, just different verses with God's grace, God's favor. Remember, you can love grace and favor all through Scripture. There's lots of online Bibles that'll give you all sorts of great things that you don't have to buy. And you can just start getting lists. Renew your mind. Start changing the way we think. Write them down. Keep them in front of you. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. What can we grow in grace, or grow in what? Favor. Grow in the favor and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can increase in the favor that we walk in. Renew your mind. Start replacing some of those thoughts, some of those victim thoughts, and replace those with favor thoughts. I don't think I have this up there, but Luke 2:52, it says Jesus grew in favor. Jesus grew in favor with God and man. Grow in favor. Right? Favor can multiply, just like we said in 1 and 2 Peter. So number one, begin to renew your mind that God favors you. Number two, expect to see God's favor in your life. Expect it. Look for it. Just like that car, look for favor. And you're going to start seeing all these things, some big, some little, but you're going to see favor every day. You know, you come up to a light and that thing turns green. That's the favor of God. You laugh, but man, I tell you, God wants life to be better for us. All that time we waste sitting at red lights, we could be doing something, being productive, not being late to work. He likes that. Right? Expect to see things go your way. Expect good things to happen. Expect someone to come, yeah, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I want to buy you a bathroom door. Expect people, you know what, I shouldn't do this, we don't normally do this, but, and just wait for that but, because the favor comes right after that. I don't know why I'm doing this, but here it comes. Expect to see that every day. Something just told me I should do this. Yeah, I know what told you. God. His favor told you. Do it. So I encourage you to do it. Right? Jeremiah 29:11, not up here, but it says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. It says thoughts of a hope and a future. And in, one translation says an expected end. God wants to give you the things that you expect. So let's make sure we're expecting the right things. Right? Expect the favor of God to be moving for you every day. Look for it and you will find it. You'll see it. And when you see it, this is the third thing. Begin to speak what it is you're expecting and verbally acknowledge when you see it. Just like we do every day. Like I said, we'll start here and then I'll give you the illustration. Job 22 says, you shall decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. So you shall decide. Notice it doesn't even say God will. You shall decide and decree, speak, proclaim a thing. Declare it to be so. And it'll be established. It'll become the norm. That extraordinary supernatural stuff, it'll become normal. Because we are not normal people, right? We are special, supernatural people. God's own special people, the Bible says. This stuff's going to be the norm. We're going to see more and more of it. Look for it. Again, this acknowledging the favor of God. Every time, this is what my family does. Every time we see God move, every time we see God do something extraordinary, something small, whatever, we say out loud, that's the favor of God. That's the favor of God. When extraordinary things happen, at those green lights, we do it. That's the favor of God. Parking spaces open up. That's the favor of God. Deals when you're shopping, discounts, favor of God. Just the other day, I buy all my guitar strings bulk because I restring my guitars a lot. And I got down to the end of my 12 sets of strings and realized that they had shortchanged me. But it was a year later. And I thought, man, it's a year. Something said, what's it hurt to check? So I sent them an email. Hey, I realized, they sent me a letter back. Hey, we're gonna give you two full sets of strings and we're going to replace all the ones you're missing so you'll have four full sets. A year later, that's the favor of God, right? Look for that. Expect that. My kids do this. We pull into Disneyland, and as we pull in, we come around, and you love seeing it when all of a sudden they move one of the cones and open up a new line. And it's like, and you're way down in the end. And I hear my 8-year-old in the back. That's the favor of God, Dad. I said, that's right, boy. That's the favor of God, man. That stuff's got to happen to somebody. Why can't it be you? You are God's favorite. Yeah. You know what? If you're in here, you're a student, you can expect favor with your teachers. You can expect God's favor. Now, don't be stupid and dumb in class and be, you know, ridiculous. Make it easier for God, shall we? But he'll give you favor. College courses, man, it's closed. Believe God, it'll open up. His favor will open up. I've heard it happen. Someone got kicked out of a class because they didn't have their money or whatever. Something happened. I told him, don't give up. It's coming. Sure enough, it turned around. All the students rallied. The teacher changed their mind, and the person got back in their class and was able to graduate. Favor of God. Right? But when you see it, you acknowledge that it's God's favor. You know, because we want to make sure that we are recognizing that it was God's hand that did it. It isn't because we're something special. It's because God's awesome. And he loves me enough to do extraordinary things for me. So when it comes, and I'm going to challenge you every day, look for it, and when it happens, I don't care how silly it seems, like I'm waiting for a mouse to get caught at home. When it does, that's the favor of God. I think it was armor plated, man. I shot him with my BB gun, and he lived. I need a better BB gun, I guess. I did. Shot him good, too. Yeah, why wouldn't I? Tired of feeding him. All right? But the more you acknowledge it, the more you're going to see it. Guaranteed. We're seeing it every day of our lives. And the thing is, when you do see it, all of a sudden you just become constantly thankful. You just all of a sudden have this thankful heart. When you see God doing things, just little things that don't really matter, but God does it anyway, it just makes you humble and thankful. And that's a good place to find yourself. The favor of God. God is on your side. I want you to put this thing up. This is how we need to start the day. Should be something up there. At the end of my notes, had you type it? She's got it. I knew she would. See? This is how we need to start our day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I am totally expecting the favor of God to show up in my life today. The favor of God is on me, surrounds me, goes before me, opens doors for me, changes rules and regulations for me, profusely abounds in my life. God's favor is working for me every day of my life. Start your day with this. End your day with this. Every time you can, keep this in front of you. Write it down. If you need it, I got it in my notes, or we can leave it up. In fact, let's leave this up on the screen at the end, and people can write it down if they need it. Okay? But I told you this wasn't an exhaustive list. I'm going to close. But in the back as you leave on a table, there is a little thing that says 10 Benefits of the Favor of God by Jerry Savelle. This is on his website. I didn't steal this. This isn't copyright infringement. This is free on his site, so I'm just using it. Pick one of these up, put it on your refrigerator, because we all go by that thing, right? So some of us stop too often. Woe is me. But pick one of these up. Keep it in front of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and so grateful, God, for your favor, that you look at us and you go, that's my favorite. They're my favorite. Lord, we are humbled that you would choose us. God, we are so thankful and ask that, Lord, help us to be always conscious. Help us to be favor conscious. Every place we go, Father, when the world sees us being blessed, they're going to want what we have. And Lord, it's just going to show them who you are. Lord, in Philemon 6, this verse just came to me. Your word says that the sharing of our faith becomes effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in us by Christ Jesus. When we acknowledge you in all our ways and we acknowledge your favor, Father, the sharing of our faith becomes more effective because people are going to get jealous because you dote on us the way you do. And Lord, we are happy to share. Help us to always look for favor. And when we do, help us to always acknowledge it. If you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus as Lord of your life, you're on the outside looking in realizing, wow, man, there is a lot I'm missing. Yes, there is. Why would you go another day outside of the blessing of God? He's not mad at you. He loves you as much as he loves Jesus. And that was before you know him. He loves you no matter what. And when you come to him, he won't love you anymore because he can't. God's love, he has the pedal floored all the time. Loving you. He's not mad. He just wants you to come home. If you're here tonight, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you know that you're away from God, not about joining a church. It's not about a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's not about a bunch of rules. It's about a relationship with God, and he wants you to come home and be his again. He's not mad at you. He's not going to condemn you for anything you've done because all sin was wiped out at the cross. His blood washed it away forever. There is no trace of it. The only thing keeping you from him, the only thing keeping you out of heaven, is not having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is all. So let's fix that tonight. If that's you, say, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life, or I want to come home to him. I want to come back to him. I've been away. I want to come back. No one's looking around. I promise you I won't embarrass you. I won't call you up. Would you just raise your hand and say, Ian, pray for me. I want to come home to Jesus. I want to get things right with God today. No one's looking around. We won't embarrass you, won't call you up, but don't leave here tonight without knowing Jesus. Don't leave here tonight. It's just too much. There's too much you're going to miss. One last time, anybody. I know you think you should, you should. If you think maybe it's me, it is you. God's calling you. Would you right now have the courage to raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. Anybody before we close? Okay, we're all believers. All right, let's share this then. Then I want to do one last thing. If you have things in your life that you need God's favor on, and we all do, but I'm not doing this just to get a response, I want to just start out by praying. faith has been increased here. We're all looking to God. We might as well pray now and take possession of his favor and let it start working in our lives today. Is there something you need God's favor? Maybe the enemy's stolen from you. Maybe there's things, promotions that you need, jobs that you're looking for, whatever. God wants to bring those things to you. He wants to pour his favor out abundantly and multiply it to you. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for us right now. Hands all over the place. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know what every one of these things is, Father. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that your favor is multiplied to us. Father, abundantly multiplied. Father, you demonstrate your favor to us, Father God. So right now, we believe we receive your favor working in our lives. Father, we will every day walk expecting to see your favor, to see you move. Father, to see the answers come. Father, what's been stolen has to be returned according to your word. So in Jesus' name, Father, we take it back. In Jesus' name, Father, we glorify you, we praise you, we thank you. Father, every need is met because of your favor, because of your grace to us, Father. And not because we do everything right, but because you are an awesome God. And Lord, we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you guys. If you want one of these little things, there are a stack of them out on that table. Take them home. If you want to give one to somebody, do that too. We can always make more. God bless you guys. Have a great night. Oh yeah, can you put that back? Thank you. Write that down. Make that your everyday proclamation.